And so, do you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good?
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatch from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do, and we're glad you could join us down here. And I can't get enough of the political fucking pain that's just being inflicted upon us every day in the mainstream media. I can't get enough of that bullshit. But from what I understand, y'all could handle a little bit of a reprieve. And so that's what we're going to be doing this week. We're going to continue our reprieve of political annihilation from the bourgeoisie that's been fucking forced on our goddamn throats in the last fucking couple of months. I can't get enough of it. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I fucking have been obsessed with it and nonstop just consuming political insanity. It's like watching the most incredible, painful, stupid reality show that has ever run a universe before, and I just can't get enough of it. But I understand that people need a little bit of reprieve, so that's what we're doing here in this week. Generally, on this show, we like to do two things. We like to take what's going on in the mainstream, all the bullshit that we get sucked into, all the bullshit that we get bombarded with, and just like that consumes our mind and all too often defines us because we internalize it sort of unconsciously and uncritically. We like to take a clear look at that mainstream stuff and try to drag it down to the underground, try to get some perspective on it, try to really just get a grip on the life that we are encouraged to live by the forces around us, the life that we all too often just end up living because we don't know a better way. We try to get some perspective on that. And on the flip side, we try to get a better sense of who we really are in the underground, that heart and soul that sort of just beats deep down in us that we sort of push away from us as we get older and older and older and live more mainstream. We try to get a better sense of that. We find the best voices in the underground, the artists, the activists, the musicians. We put microphones in front of their faces, and we just try to pick their brains apart. And hopefully, through doing that, we get a better sense of what makes them tick, and hopefully, we get a better sense of how we can start ticking like them. And we're going to do that today. We're going to continue our conversation with Maddie Ruthless and Matt Birdie of The Far East at thefareastnyc.com, which is, that's where you can go find more information about them, go find some tunes and some merch. It's an incredible reggae band here in New York City. They're part of a wonderful scene that we have going on here, and they're just absolutely top of the line people, and I couldn't be happier to have Maddie back on the show. And Matt actually was back for the second week, but for the first time I've had a real long conversation with him, and he's just a stellar dude. I'm so impressed by these two folks and impressed by the band, and I'm so happy that they took time out of their busy schedule to come on the show. They're actually in the studio recording as we speak, I think, and we're gonna be talking about that too, because they just got off tour with The Specials. And they were on tour with them for quite a few weeks. It was all across the country. They went to everywhere in the country. I even think they left the country for a little bit to go on tour with them. And they have some crazy stories that we got into last week on the show. So if you didn't hear last week's episode, stop right now and go back and listen. It's not a necessity that you do that. It's like there's no continuity issues here, right? But go back and listen, because I think there's a ton of really interesting stuff in that episode. We sort of talk about the ups and downs, the highs and lows of the tour that they were on. And this week, we're going to continue that episode, and we're going to finish a story that Maddie and Matt started to tell at the very end of that episode, and I stopped them because I knew it was going to be incredible, and I knew that we needed to do a whole other separate section on it, and I was absolutely right. This story is hilarious. I can't wait for you to hear it. It's got all of the wonderful, it's like it should be an opera. It's like all of the incredible things that should be in a story of our time. It's got juggalos and service professionals and meth and just drug-induced rages. You're going to love it. I can't wait for you to hear it. and they're going to be bringing it to us in a second. That's going to be in the first half of the episode. On the second half of the episode, we are going to get more into what's going on with the Far East, where they're headed to, what they're doing in the studio. We're going to talk a little bit about how they operate, which I find absolutely fascinating. The band fascinates me. Maddie and Matt fascinate me. They're consummate professionals, and they just do everything the right way. And I'm unable to do that. I see what they're doing, and I just, like, am unable to live like that. But it impresses the hell out of me, and I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it in detail, and I want to see if there's any way for me to behave like they do. But I don't actually think it's possible. So I'm just going to be in awe of what they do, and we're going to find out more about that in a minute. So I think they're putting out some new music soon. I hope they're putting out some new music soon. Again, you can find out more information at thefareastnyc.com. They're on social media. Make sure you follow them. And huge thanks to them for getting down with us here on the show this week. I want to send a couple other thank yous out real quick. I want to thank Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com for including Dispatch from the Underground and their incredible programming. We air every Wednesday night at 11 p.m., but there's a lot of great programming over at Real Punk Radio. We air right after Tommy Unit Live show. He's doing an amazing job. And, you know, it's just a ton of great programming over there. And we're super happy and lucky to be included in that wonderful community. So thank you very much, Tommy. I want to shout out to all the folks on social media who've been blasting out dispatches. We have no budget for advertising. We barely scrape enough to make this show airable every week. And there is some money involved in making that happen. You could always help that out by going to dispatchingtheunderground.com and donating on the donate section. But it's not necessarily the show's free. We want to keep it free. We want people to listen. But thank you so much to everyone who takes the time and the consideration to blast this out to their social media folks. Please keep doing that. It makes a difference. It really is the only way we can get folks listening is through folks who dig it. Spreading the word of mouth. You can subscribe on our website. You can also rate us on iTunes. If you go to iTunes and you find Dispatch from the Underground, please put a bunch of stars on there. Leave a comment. It helps, like, people know that we exist and that they should listen to us and that we're not just some fucking dumb shithead, hardcore fuckface from New York putting out a bunch of trash talk, which we are. But if you leave a comment saying that we're more than that, it would make a big difference for other people to listen. So, you know, think about it. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all for who are continuing to buy merch and support the show. It means a great deal to us. And I think I said enough thank yous. That's enough. That's enough gratitude for one episode. Let's get to the fucking shit talking. Yes, we're going to get to the shit talking. We're going to listen to some music and we're going to fucking hear from Maddie and Matt from the Far East. So let's get to it. Hope you all dig it. Get down. All right, let's listen to the tune from the Far East. Hopefully, we'll have a lot more tunes to be playing for them in the very near future. I love this song. It gets stuck in my head. It's like poison, honestly. It's like delicious, delicious poison. I cannot get this song out of my head. I find myself singing it in very weird moments. And, you know, just it's infectious. And I love it. Here's the Far East featuring Matt Birdie and Maddie Ruthless. Get down.
Yeah.
All right, we are back for the second part of our interview with the Far East. I'm here with Maddie and Matt. What's up?
What up?
Thanks for coming back to the studio after that.
We like it here.
Yeah, it's great. That was a total lie. We actually recorded this all in one. I can't even fucking. I'm not even going to pretend for that bullshit.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, this is how Trump gets it over, because he says media is full of liars, and I just proved him right. So I feel terrible for helping Trump out there, and I apologize to everybody. But we are here in the studio. Maddie, Matt, thank you so much for sticking around and doing this fucking two-part business. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I know you have like a million things to do. You have tours to go on immediately.
Mm-hmm. Right now.
Yeah.
We have a night tour.
Oh my God, I wish. A night tour.
The last episode, we ended with an incredible story that you had begun saying about being in Kansas City, Missouri, not Kansas City, Kansas, just to be super clear about the shit talking that I'm going to do about Missouri in a minute. That I'm going to do, not the Far East. Let's just get this real clear. I'm not in the Far East when I talk shit about Missouri. But you were going to tell a story about a diner after tour was over in Kansas City.
Disclaimer to the 20 or so people, you know, most of which were the other band that was at our Kansas City, Missouri show. You guys are champions. We loved meeting
you. Big up Rico.
Yeah.
For letting me use his drum set.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
We full joyed our experience meeting you. The DJ was actually sick. Johnny Stark is
lame,
a great guy
lame,
with a
lame,
distro.
Lame. This is so lame. No one wants to hear about how much you like these people.
After the show, we went to the diner. But
everyone was cool in Missouri. The show was great.
The show was
great.
We had to go. We had to go. And it was later than I wanted. And part of it was because I succumbed to the pressures of my band smoking so much marijuana, and I smoked a little marijuana.
In
the
very
then,
legal places that it was being smoked.
Yeah, and then all obviously. Of a sudden, like, Missouri. I couldn't talk to anyone anymore. I couldn't settle up the show. I couldn't help Mickey with the merch. I couldn't talk to anyone in the band. I was like hiding.
You were laying on the ground.
I was hiding. Yeah, I was having like a full-on panic attack. I don't.
Were you really?
I don't smoke, and this is I like found like a place to like be.
Fetal position.
It was in the middle of the
It was
street.
The fetal position.
Luckily, it was Kansas City, and no one was around.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I was Kansas in a spiral. We left tour with the Specials, and I didn't know who I was anymore. And I started drinking and smoking, and so by the end of the night, I had no place to go, and I didn't know what I was talking about. And the band was like, "Can we go to a diner?" And I meant to say no. No, no, no. But instead I just said, just tell me where the diner is and I'll drive us there.
No, you said, I'd rather not eat fast food.
I just didn't know what I said. I just said whatever.
That's basically what you
asked me a question, and in my mind I said, what can I say to make this question over as quickly as possible?
I didn't say anything because
you
had fun
you're
of my
smart.
Own.
Yeah, because you knew what was happening.
Yeah, yeah, I was interested in just explore more of Kansas City.
And for people who aren't musicians out there, when your lead singer is sprawled out on the ground outside of a venue and the tour is over, don't poke them, don't touch them. Make the decisions elsewhere and decide
and also
them.
But also respect them when they
Be
maybe
nice
shouldn't
them.
Drive the van, and they say, I will drive the van.
Yeah.
I'm driving the van.
But you're like the assertive, you know. If I'm said I'm going to drive the van and someone says no, they're done. Like, that's the end of them on the tour. They're going to be destroyed. I will destroy them.
When you ask to drive the van, it's because you really need to drive the van.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, true.
So you get to the diner.
Yeah.
Things are okay. Okay.
In the parking lot was weird.
You didn't even make it into the diner?
Oh, yeah. The parking lot was weird.
And how then, was the parking
no,
lot
no, no,
weird?
No, that was
Swastikas?
Denver.
Oh.
No, the parking lot was weird at the Kansas City diner.
I'm not
too.
Sure I can believe you anymore, Maddie. I feel like you are checked out of this story.
I just didn't like parking lots at this point in the tour because, you know, side note here, after we were finished playing with the Specials, we always had to load out our stuff because the Specials have a lot of things and the venue has a pretty big backstage, but we got to get the fuck out of the way.
You got to load in your van. While
we
got to
load
up.
Exactly.
Wow.
So after
that
the show,
sucks.
So we would play for like 2,000 people and everybody's like, you know, we'd maybe have like our best show of tour. And then in maybe 10 seconds, we'd be in a crazy dark alley with like in a parking lot. And no, this was all fine. This was great. It was like humbling. And it was, it was actually good to like load out and be done with it. Mm-hmm. But we were often like we're often dressed like in our suits, like hanging out with like a, someone smoking crack,
sweating, and
yeah. I don't know. There's so many crackheads around every venue. Like, I feel like there'd be more shit stolen. With, I guess they're not really thinking about stealing shit, and things do get stolen. But
yeah, well,
also most of these venues were like center of town, like 42nd Street.
In San Francisco, we witnessed 3 robberies.
No way.
We just witnessed 3 robberies.
Wow. I've never seen a robbery.
I've never seen a robbery before.
Yeah.
Have you ever been robbed?
I've seen my own self.
I've been robbed. I've been robbed, and luckily I've never seen a robbery, because I'd like assert myself, and it'd be horrible for everybody involved. Me, the person who's being robbed, the person who's getting doing the robbing.
Yeah.
Everything. But that's fucking crazy. Where did you see 3 in San Francisco?
San Francisco.
Oh, well, I can't really blame
San Francisco
for that.
Felt like it was like a full moon, and like it felt wild.
Yeah.
Like it just felt wild as hell.
You guys were in San Francisco or you were in Oakland? Like, I feel like
San Francisco.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Golden Gate Bridge to Robtown.
Right. Hold up though. We back to Kansas City.
Yeah, back to Kansas City. The parking lot.
Can you tell us?
Yeah, go.
Oh, so we get to the diner, and it was popping, and there was, what was it, like 2 a.m.?
Yeah, 2, 3. I think it was like 3, honestly, because we didn't get back till maybe it was like 2. Mm-hmm. It was 2.
And we noticed that there was a table of like 15 plus people dressed interestingly, like maybe.
Just say it.
Juggalos?
They were juggalos.
Awesome.
It was a banquet. It was like the Juggalo Last Supper.
It was a gathering.
It was a mini gathering of, and it took me a minute because it was like 15 to 20, and it was like the Last Supper because they were like across like a whole table. And
they were all paced one way? They were all like,
no.
You walked in? Jesus Juggalo?
It was like the Last Supper, you mean?
It looked like looked like the Last Supper of Juggalos. And it took me a second because I looked at them and I was like, what's wrong with all of these people? And they all have the same thing that's wrong with them. Like, as if you looked at a table and everyone only had one arm at the table. Yeah. And you like, we're trying to, you're like, what do all these people have in common? And it's all fucked up.
But you couldn't figure it out. You can't see what's wrong with them. You're like, something's off here.
Then
like,
the guy stood up that was completely painted black except for bones on his face.
They were painted Juggalos.
Yo, face painted.
One, some were face painted.
And Juggalettes.
Oh, of course. Hatchets up. Hatchets up, motherfuckers. Yeah.
But like,
you guys
with
walk
pigtails.
In?
Like, you know, like pigtails and like, just the whole, like just the
white people with very uncomfortable cornrows.
Just like the most Juggalo you could be.
Oh God, like, I'm so jealous.
Like, and it took me a second. Like, most certainly all these people are something. And then I was like, they're Juggalos.
Yeah.
And we're in Missouri, and this is where people, Juggalos are.
You immediately walk out and back into the parking lot and then kick the door in and be like, fucking, yo, you down with the clown? So you're dead in the ground, son.
They definitely were saying things like that, like to the waitresses. They were being like, they just were saying, like they all knew certain things and they were all saying them. Like when they left, they were like, peace to the beast, or I don't know, like they were all saying like certain weird
Jesus Christ, my Lord
things.
And Savior, or whatever, something uncomfortable.
That is the part of it, though. They're all Jesus freaks.
My favorite part was, we proceeded to order food.
You stayed.
We stayed, Joey, and this is why I was mad. This is why I was upset, is because I was like, it's 2 a.m., I feel terrible.
Kansas City, Missouri.
This is the worst night of my life. I mean, the show, thank you, Kansas City, but this is this part was terrible.
Yeah,
and,
sounds like a nightmare.
And the fucking diner's full up with Juggalos. Yeah. And then on the jukebox is My Girl, and it's on repeat. It was like on repeat. Like, they played My Girl like 3-4 times in a row.
You were in my dream. This is just a dream that I had, and you lived it. And it's like Freddy Krueger shit.
It was hell.
It's just amazing.
I've seen hell.
But there was a point where you guys saw all this. My Girl is blasting. It's like the second time through.
My Girl.
You guys are looking at the menu, you say, we are going to order still. Like, we are sticking through this. This is not an irrational choice. But
yeah.
You had enough.
No, actually, we decided to order takeout.
Okay. Oh, you did? Okay, so you had enough.
Because we were like, we got to get the fuck out of here. Right?
We did agree. I mean, part of it was just like, I was like, I don't want to be up any longer. I don't want to be here. And I don't want to be around my band. And like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Oh, after those decision making, no one wanted to be around.
I wanted to just disappear. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, let's order to go.
But you saw the Juggalos leave.
No, they
stayed.
They
was this
they
a Denny's?
Stayed.
Was this a Denny's?
Because it was similar to a Denny's. It was like a '50s themed diner.
Okay.
It was
not.
It was not like a good diner. You know, like if
oh, yeah,
you go
the
to
Juggalos
like,
are there. All we all have a picture of this diner super clear in our head.
Yo, it was similar to Denny's. It wasn't like Kellogg's diner. It wasn't like kind of a nice diner. Not that Kellogg's is like fancy, but
well, Denny's
Kellogg's is like the worst diner.
Denny's is like the bottom of the barrel. That shit is the
it's
most.
Like,
but I feel like
Denny's.
That's a fucking you know Juggalos don't understand magnets. But I feel like Denny's is a Juggalo magnet.
Oh yeah,
I feel like you fucking
I
go
like
to Denny's
that loaded statement.
And you like, damn, like ah, fucking.
Oh, they don't. They think magnets are miracles.
Oh yeah, yo, they have a whole thing like
they have a whole
yo,
song
what's
about
up
it.
With fucking magnets? I don't know,
I
bro.
About
no
that.
One does.
Except for like, someone should study that.
Yo, someone should get down with that shit.
Someone
man.
Should ask Jesus, what's up with that?
It happens I mean, every time.
If you walk into some place and you see a room full of Juggalos, you walk the fuck out.
No, but Joey, it got a lot worse
I didn't
than
know
that.
That.
It got worse.
So go into your friend.
So wait, I think you should talk about the eggs first.
Okay.
Because
so
it
we're
took us an
there.
Hour to get our food. By the way,
of course they
wait,
have demanding
wait, wait.
Table
I thought we're
of Juggalos.
Building to that point.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
We'll fucking delete it. Don't
we
worry.
We spoiled it.
Yeah, it's okay.
But that doesn't really matter. We were there for. Forever. So we're sitting there and we order and there's only
we're
one.
We're standing near the kitchen.
Yeah, we're like sitting at the bar.
Okay.
I don't know why diners have bars, but
Mickey is taking my picture because Mickey, our merch guy, took photos the whole time.
Did he take pictures of the fucking Juggalos?
He did it because we would die. Like, you can't take their photos. Are
oh,
you
yeah,
trying to
no.
die?
They think that steals their soul, so you can't. You could get in real trouble for that shit. For real, yeah.
Not trying to like get murdered in Missouri.
So the only cook we can see in the kitchen is only scrambling eggs, and that like, and not just like one batch of eggs that we were watching him over the course of an hour. He must have scrambled like 120 eggs, like a whole pitcher
like,
filled with eggs. Scrambled like
and
just
there was like
egg juice
15 Juggalos and maybe like two other people and us so like yeah. What like not an exaggeration
I don't know where
like
these eggs were going
eggs.
He just kept like very it was actually mesmerizing to watch him he was just patiently scrambling them with this big spatula because there's a lot of eggs and
he kind of
I
like
couldn't
a
stop watching him and then I'm thinking why is he scrambling all these eggs? Where are they going? You can't see where they're going. He just keeps like...
And he kind of had a look on his face like, God fucking damn
all
it.
All day long, scramble these eggs.
He's the egg scrambler.
Yeah.
In the fucking position.
And then like...
They didn't turn him off.
Not
they
just like... yo, not just like cracking one egg after the other. Like vats of like, you know, liquid egg.
Yeah.
Like, but like...
You don't have to scramble that.
Like, I would say like a gallon. Like maybe well, 1 gallon of liquid egg.
But liquid
no,
egg...
No, no. He had a pitcher, like a typical pitcher of beer.
Yeah. And it had the egg
but
mix
it had
in
yellow
it.
Eggs. But
and he was refilling it and like just scrambling like enough eggs.
The flat top
I think that someone, but if anyone knows
elegantly
this, if anyone knows
them.
This Juggalo diner in Missouri, in fucking Kansas City, Missouri, let them know that the egg scrambler does not need to be there. Like that shit's already pre-scrambled.
and just like, and then keep in mind, you know, just bear in mind, it took us like an hour, like a full hour to get our food. And none of us ordered eggs.
No, are the Juggalos eating, or they just got there right before you?
The Juggalos are done. Oh they're done, God. And they're just enjoying each other and enjoying
so
each
they
other's company.
The eggs.
So they're just like feeding some pig in the back, like in a trough, like
who,
endless
who
egg
eggs. Cooked.
They're feeding Satan himself.
Yeah.
Who lives?
Juggalos
in
wouldn't
diner.
Have any of that. It would be Faygo mix. It wouldn't even be eggs. This is perplexing. This is a real. This could be a whole. This could be a fucking Juggalo song.
So watching Juggalos like settle up their check and like split a bill up, and like just and tell waitresses
I
like good night, have a great night. Like all of that was bizarre to me.
I was completely mesmerized.
There was like
by the
a guy
egg.
With like devil horns, spiked up devil horns, and like full face paint and like JNCO jeans and. He just said to the waitress, like, have a great night, Peggy.
Oh, yeah. You know, that ruined my whole myth of them because, like, in my head, they're just, like, mean, like, Puddle of Mud fans or whatever the fuck the band is or some bullshit. And, like, you just want them to be, like, like horrible people so you could just relentlessly make fun of them. But they're like, oh, see you later, Mom. Or, like, fuck.
Yeah. They
just hanging out with Mom at work,
they didn't
man.
Seem, like, entirely harmless, but... But okay, so then another dimension.
Well, wait. Did you talk to the fucking cook?
No.
Because I feel like
it was insane. Though
this is why you can't drink. Because I feel like I would have had the presence of mind to be like, stop.
Stop.
We cannot leave this fucking diner without figuring out what the hell that guy was cooking.
There's more.
Kids, so that's why you don't drink, kids.
Let me tell you this aspect.
This is your mind on
let
drugs
me tell you this
on...
dimension of the story, okay. And maybe you'll understand why I didn't say anything. So we walked in, and we noticed the juggalos. We all try to like quietly, because we're like 5 feet away from the juggalos.
Are you dressed in suits for
yes,
the show?
We
You're all dressed in the same suit still? Oh my god, they thought you fucking guys were weird.
Yeah.
Look how Big D and the kids table's here, guys.
We like looked at each other and tried to like silently communicate that we all knew we were next to juggalos without saying it out loud, because we weren't trying to start a problem with juggalos.
Juggalo war.
And then I look over, and maybe 20 feet away from me is the door to the diner. And in that door is a...
You're missing a very crucial point.
Okay, interrupt
me. But he Maddie, right. To be fair, we've learned not to trust your story here.
Yeah.
I was delirious, so I like it when you correct.
He was next to us.
Oh, he was sitting next to us.
Yeah.
Did he become
staring.
Angry at us while he was sitting next to us?
Yeah, and he was staring, I think, Chris down.
Like, to be fair, they tried to coordinate this story before we started talking. I said, stop, because I don't want to hear it, because it's got to be all on the podcast.
Yeah.
And we should have coordinated.
Now I understand.
because
there's multiple realities.
I was delirious.
Happening.
Well, because, okay, so there was this man, and he was sitting next to us at the bar, and he looked very disturbed. And he's like a young man.
Not the
man.
Band disturbed.
No. And he wasn't a part of the Juggalo like entourage, but he just looked super disturbed, and he was like our age, which like when you see like maybe an older, like maybe like a vagrant kind of like disturbed, that's one thing, but this was like someone who was very disturbed and very angry and was like our age and like was dressed like normally or whatever.
Okay, so he
and
was
then,
like his facial features were
he
like,
looked
distressed.
Like upset and okay. angry, like very, very angry. And he got up, and he was super mad at us for being there, and we don't know why. And he was like kind of staring Chris. Yeah, he was kind of staring Chris down, our bassist, which is like, that's not fair. It's Chris.
He's a little guy.
He's little, and he had brain tumor.
Yeah.
And
so he's like zoned in on the guy he feels like he can beat up the quickest or something.
Yeah.
Shit.
And so then he walked out, and then he just stood in the glass doorway of the diner, like still angry, and started just banging on the door.
Oh,
and was
shit.
Like, and was obviously outside screaming at the top of his lungs, like, like screaming. But we couldn't hear him because the door was closed, and he's just banging on the door like violently. And I thought he was staring at me, and he was looking at me and pointing. He started pointing at me and was just like, like just screaming at me. He was a lunatic, and he was flipping out. And so I was like, Matt, I was talking to Matt and to Mickey, and I was like, you know, you guys, I really don't like this. Like, I really hate that we're here. I really just want to go. Like, I want to leave. There's these juggalos. I don't want any of this crazy diner food.
Bad fucking scene.
Like, I just want to get out. And then he ran. At one point, he, like, threw the door open and ran towards us.
Holy fuck.
And I, like, started backing way up, and I, like, kind of, like, backed up towards the bathrooms. And then he just, like, stopped and, like, sat down in his same chair. And it was just one of those situations where you knew, like, you couldn't say, like, hey, is everything okay? Because
his teeth were, like, clenched the entire time.
Oh, dude.
He was flipping out. I mean, what do you think? It was meth?
Maybe.
What was wrong? PCP?
That is PCP. That is not
that
meth.
Seemed like PCP, right?
That guy had a PCP party.
It's like he's all angeled out.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, I would have hung the fuck out with that guy, dude. That guy would have been
really?
So... I love PCP, folks.
At one point, I was so nervous about the van. Because, you know, like when you're a band on tour, all in the back of your head constantly is the van.
Everything. Your life is in there.
Everything about your everything, even when you're on stage, somewhere in your consciousness is the van okay?
Yep.
What's in the van? Who's by the van? Did everyone lock the van? Did everyone take everything out of the van?
Yeah, no one's getting back in the fucking van, just to be clear about this. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you were worried about the van.
I was worried about the van, and I said to Matt, like, well, you know, and I really just wanted to leave, but I think I was just trying to, like, segue and make it about the van, because people care more about the van than they do about individuals. So I was like, I mean, are you guys feel good about the van right now?
Yeah.
Do we feel good about the van right now?
Matt was purely checked out. This whole time, he's zoned in on the fucking scrambler.
Like, wow.
That guy's scrambling the shit out of that egg still. And the whole time, Maddie's watching this guy be like, this guy is going to fucking murder us. And all the other guys are like, I don't know, juggalettes in the house. And
Mickey, this guy was making his body language imply that he was going to kill us.
Yeah.
Like, I was taking it seriously.
I think that's probably a good... What are you going to do? You're in a room full of juggalos and the fucking PCP guy is going to get you?
If there's a person 20 feet away from you who's literally mouthing the words, I'm going to kill you, who am I to not believe him?
It's like American Horror Story. No. What are you going to run the other way? The juggalos are there.
Mickey says, oh, I'm sick of hearing my girl. I'm going to put something on the jukebox. He's like putting music on the jukebox.
What a dick. That's a great song.
I did not understand your cue. And so I just went out into the foyer with him.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So eventually I was like, Matt, you gotta break this and just go out
there. The tension was, yeah.
This palpable.
Right.
Yeah. Did that do it?
I just looked at him and I walked by and checked on the van.
Yeah.
And then.
What happened when you walked past him? Didn't he like.
He just looked at me like we made eye contact for a second and then he seemed to like. Definitely the tension broke.
Didn't
I don't know
he
why.
Open the door for you? Wasn't that part of it?
No. He just moved out of the way.
Oh. Good call. That was good. That's okay. That's a good thing.
I think that was a good thing.
Yeah. That is not enough. You should have gone out there and you should have immediately just stabbed him with a fucking butter knife from Denny's.
I definitely was having these thoughts where I was like.
I should have asked
like,
him what's up with the scrambler. Like,
well, no, I 100%.
You've been here for a while. What's up with that guy?
What was on my mind 100% was we're gonna have to throw down with this guy and maybe also the jugglers.
Definitely the
scrambler. I didn't know. I didn't know how he was connected to the. I thought he might have had a relationship with the juggalos. So I was like, we're gonna have to throw down with this guy and maybe the juggalos. And I was looking at the Far East, and I was like, is this the group? Is this the group of people who? Because yes. I personally think about. Just as far as friends, like you can't really trust friends that you can't like break the law with. Yeah. You have to be able to like break the law with your friends, right?
You can't trust
or you can't trust them.
You can't trust people who won't kill a room full of juggalos and PCP addicts with you. You can't be friends with them.
No, I really did. Yeah. I swear to God, I like really logically was like, I don't know. I don't know. And I felt like bad. I felt like that was like a part of when I look back at the tour, that's like a part of the tour where I'm like, I still don't know the answer to that question. And I don't know if the Far East will make
it we didn't find
successfully
out.
Until we do find out.
No, that was I feel like that's a good decision. This is why you should have me be your tour manager, because I would resolve that situation and you could have just left me in the Kansas City jail.
Joey, please.
Where I would have killed the fucking PCP guy and like it would have been like the tour's
Joey,
not over.
You're hired already.
You might have just like
Joey,
I
swear to God, just having this conversation, I already know that you are. You just have to.
It would have been
what
so
do
many
you
new
like
problems.
About PCP guys?
Oh, I feel like we're on the same level. Gals. I feel like we're always on the same level. I feel like if I did a drug, I don't do drugs. I don't do this. And my friends who are also sober, I'm always joking. I'm like, yeah, PCP seems like I think that's the drug I do. Mm-hmm. Like I hear stories all the time. Some of them really sad about like some guy smoked a bunch of fucking wet cigarettes and then like fought 10 cops and then was killed. Mm-hmm. But before he was killed.
No, that is sad. But at least he got some
he
cops.
He fucked
in.
Up 10 cops.
I know.
And he was like fucking guys hawking out on 10 cops. I'm like.
Bravo.
And like getting naked and like running down the street flipping cars. I'm like, dude, that's a fucking amazing drug.
Amazing.
If I did drugs, I'd fucking PCP the shit out of things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I feel like I would totally start a band with those folks. And you know what? I feel like there's so many. Like we listen to Juggalo Radio. If we listen to like Juggalo Radio, that whole story would have been like, yo, we're fucking at a Denny's and these fucking New York, these fucking reggae motherfuckers in their suits and their fucking silly suits come in here and fucking no hatchets up. No fucking cornrows, no pigtails, like no rubber bands in the hair at all. Didn't make any sense at all. And like, we're just fucking ordering some eggs to go. We get fucking 10 gallons of eggs and they keep staring at the egg guy. They keep staring at the egg guy. And
let
like,
him do his job.
Hey, yeah, what the fuck? And then
Tony's having a bad night on PCP.
Yo, Tony's
his name
fucking
isn't Tony. His name is to be like John David.
John is working the door and these guys just walk in and sit down and they don't even say hello. And then he fucking flips out because they don't, what are they from, though, New York? They don't say hello to people. So John flips out. He's like, why don't these fucking guys too good to say hello to me? And it was really inconsiderate. We just fucking eyed them until they left. It was fucked up, honestly.
At one point, I like got up and ran into the bathroom.
Oh my God, the
like,
cinnamon
buns. Like I ran.
Buns.
Oh my God, the cinnamon buns.
So we
this was going on an hour of us being here and the scramblers scrambling and PCP
it's
guys.
It's actually hard
PCP.
To tell how much time passed.
At one point, yo,
like
at one point.
Minutes. It could have been like
no,
20
it was
minutes.
An
it
hour.
Could have been like
at
an
one
hour
point,
and 20.
At one point, the scrambler is like looking at me while he's just scrambling away.
I'm sure.
For the full hour. And I ordered, yo, Joey. I ordered oatmeal. That's what I ordered. I ordered
Stop.
Oatmeal.
I want
to go.
If someone in Kansas City is still listening, there's no way you are because it talks so much shit about your dumbass state. But if there's someone in Kansas City is listening and knows these juggalos, please put me in touch with these people because I know they're telling this story and it is like fucking these guys order oatmeal. Who orders oatmeal? We serve scrambled fucking eggs. That is fucking it. And you order oatmeal? Like we're known for scrambled eggs in Kansas City and you order fucking oatmeal? Fuck these guys. They're all smoking weed. We smoke PCP in Kansas City. No fucking weed. Go back to Denver, you hippies. Yeah. Fucking think it'd be great.
Yeah. Wait, so.
All right, so end with the Cinnabons, and then we're going to. Cinnamon buns here.
Oh,
we're going to end
they
up.
They gave us like.
It was pity.
1.5 dozen cinnamon buns.
So, but this was
midway
like,
through the hour.
Yeah.
To smooth it over.
Okay, so round 30 minutes, 40 minutes.
Juggalo sent this, you an order of cinnamon buns.
This lady, this waitress comes by, and she's got like a sly. Like a sly, like twinkle in her eye, and like a sly look on her face, and she's got like a container that's like closed up, and she's like, "Ooh, I got something for you guys," and we're like, "Ooh, I just hope it's whatever. I hope it's our fucking oatmeal. We have to leave," and she's like, "Just because you guys have had to wait, you know, here's some cinnamon buns," and it was like, yeah, it was like a dozen cinnamon buns, and.
Oatmeal takes 3 minutes to make, and cinnamon buns take 45 minutes.
Yeah,
to make.
And it was like it was
fucking
like
guys.
It was like just mocking us. It was like,
well,
pity.
No, the word. Well, and then
it was
the hottest thing in the world.
No, but it was cruel because in the end, it turned out to be a really cruel joke. Because
oh yeah, in the end, we got back to the hotel room and we all
our
got our sandwiches or thought so. We got our styrofoam trays sorted out and we opened the last one that's supposed to be my sandwich, and it's. Crammed, filled with like 14 cinnamon buns. No sandwich. It was.
So, yeah, we waited for an hour and I ordered oatmeal and my oatmeal was in there somewhere. And, you know, they gave us like all these to go bags. They're like, so sorry it took so long. Sorry you guys almost died and the juggalos. And then we're like, it's okay, it's okay. We just never want to see you guys again.
Or
please.
Cinnamon buns because we just ate.
Yeah, and the cinnamon buns, it was like one of those things you like eat and like you immediately regret it because it just tastes like poison. And then we get home and we like unbox all of our food and like somebody got like a tuna melt and somebody got like a hamburger.
Buffalo chicken sandwich.
And what'd you order, Matt?
Some kind of chicken sandwich.
Matt opens his chicken sandwich and it's like 14 more cinnamon.
I just wanna say thank you to the Juggalos in Kansas City for making this tour so much more special for me. I know it's not for you guys, but
I know
like
that story has like nothing to do with the specials, but it encapsulates what it's like. I feel like it completely encapsulates what it's like to go on tour with the specials and then to come home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, could it be
that
like
was
could
reality.
Could it have gone any worse to like be off tour with the specials?
I mean, I think it could have gone worse. Like that shit sounds like an American Horror Story, like like diner ep season where like you walk in and there's juggalos surrounding you and then PCP on the other side
and only cinnamon buns.
And cinnamon buns.
The lady
to watch eggs get scrambled.
Yo, and the people just look like a mess up in the diner too. Just everybody's just looking crazy as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we went through that.
Listen, we're gonna get to the rest of Far East right now. So let's listen to a tune and let's get some more.
Yeah,
get down. I love this band, The Ladrones. If you like The Specials, if you like ska, and you're living in New York State, if you're living in New York City and you don't know this band, you fucked up a ton. This band is on the rise. They're incredible. They're making such beautiful music. And I hope this isn't the introduction to them, but if this is, you need to go out and get this music very quickly. The very special band that I like a lot, and I don't like ska music very much, and the fact that I like them, I think, speaks to the musicality of these folks and the incredible craftsmanship, because I think they put together just great tunes and they just keep it top of the line. Yeah, you're gonna love these tunes. So here's a tune by Los Ladrones. Let's get to it. Get down. Cover the most important parts of the tour. We covered the amazing experience of being on tour, the Specials, and playing in front of all these wonderful people, and playing even in front of all these few people in Kansas City. We covered, like, you know, the highs and the lows, and we finally got to cover all the Juggalos. But let's talk about the future. What is going on with the Far East? What's the plan now?
We're going in the studio this week. Back in the studio. We didn't want to waste time. Like, we felt really, like, fresh from tour, and we just wanted to go back in with Brett Tubin from Channel Tubes. He's a beast producer. So we're going to a Relic Room this weekend to record. We haven't been super, I mean, some we've put Youth Man, Can We Make It Up, Deep Shadows. Those are our tunes we have out, and we've been really proud of those. What we've made behind the scenes has been like a lot of other things that we haven't loved. And we're really excited.
You mean recordings?
Yeah, recordings. So I think like we want to make music that like really accurately represents us.
That's
so excited
tough.
To do that.
So what are you going
to
do? You're going to put out a 7-inch? You're going to put out a single? You're going to put out a whole album? What's the plan?
I think we could.
You don't want to pin it down. You don't want me to pin you down here.
No. We don't know. Honestly, we're leaving it open, I think. Like,
depends on what we end up with.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem is having expectations for how much you're going to come out with. And it seems like as soon as we start telling people, oh, are we going to put out an EP? It's like that's when things start like dwindling down.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, all in all, we want to put out an album. We really do. But
well, I think that you guys have done it 100% the best way of any band in New York in the time that I've been making music here. You guys have been holding it down the best in terms of putting out music because everybody rushes to do it.
Yeah.
We're all rushing to put out albums, and I think it's just stupid. Like, we're all just stupid in the way we do it, and you guys are like doing it the smartest, best way possible. So I applaud. I tell my partner Christine all the time, I'm like, I just think the way you guys are putting out tunes and the way the Frighteners did some too, but just like putting out only fucking perfect stuff. Nothing that you aren't just like, that's what we want to put out. That's
it. We're crazy. I mean, I'm crazy, dude. I'm crazy. But also
we got that from that last part there.
Yeah. I gotta attribute a lot of it to Matt too, because I lose my patience a lot too, and I'm like, I just wanna put it out to be done with it. Like, I want to put out this, like, here's this tune. It's not perfect, but I want to get rid of it. And Matt's like, hold up, crazy. Reel it back in. Like, we're not putting that out. We're not going to put out anything that's not perfect. So,
I think that it takes so much patience that I would never, ever, ever be able to eat. Like, I see you doing it, and I'm just like, I can't possibly do that.
Well, a lot of people would say like, where is all your music? So I'm glad that you have that perspective.
I mean, maybe it's because I make music and some of it I'm not super happy with. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I have a song for so long and I'm just like, you know, people hear it live but then they don't get to experience it themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I want them to hear it, but then I put it out, I'm like, God, that's not it, that's not what it should be.
Mm-hmm. So hard,
and it's so difficult to hold on to that. But yeah. I think the way you're doing it is professional. It's right. It's fucking awesome.
And until Brett, I don't think I liked the recording. Like, I didn't like it. And just working with Brett has made me, like, enjoy it. Just because he, and not because he makes it fun. He's not making it fun at all. He's, like, actually pretty hard to work for. But, I mean, not that he's difficult, but that, like, he standards. Has expectations. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But, like, just that he is as much of a perfectionist as we are is good, because I don't have to worry. Like, I just feel like I always have to, like, in the back of my mind, like, worry if someone's standards like are as high as ours.
I mean, I'm always blown away by it. I'm so obviously I want more tunes to listen to, and that's fucking ridiculously frustrating to not have more Far East tunes. But I just think that you're showing so many other bands too that you don't have to put out 50. You don't have to put out a full length to get noticed. You have to put out really great shit that people want to keep listening to, and that doesn't matter. All the other shit doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. We're not performers. We are, or whatever. We're not artists. We're fucking musicians. Mm-hmm. And you guys, I think, are the gold standard of how to do it right in New York City, in my experience.
That's awesome. Thank you.
But I want more fucking tunes, so. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how to say that both
that
ways.
This
yeah. That's great.
Well, you know what, too, I think I learned from the specials is what's really cool about them, and not to just like harp on them, but we just got off tour with them. But one thing is like just saying no. Like, we've said no to a lot of people, which has been hard. But I'm so happy we've been saying no. And I like want to say, I'm like excited to say no some more.
How do you do it? Because I never want to say, I want to say like, yes to everybody all the
just
time.
Just really starting to feel like empowered by saying no. I just think what's cool about the Specials is that they didn't reform for as long as they did. And they didn't like their band broke up like at the height of their success. And it was just like everything just seems to be like on their own terms, which I just really respect. And I think that there's a lot to learn there.
I don't know how you could learn that. I just feel like you guys are always doing that anyway. It's always on Far East terms. Far East terms all day.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, we like talk to someone and I'm not going to say who would, you know, name names or whatever, but somebody who just was like, who kind of said to us, like, hey, this reggae scene you guys do, it's very niche. It's too niche. You need to like bust out and you need to like expand your standards and like kind of do what other bands do if you're going to want to get in. And just people tell us shit like that all the time. Like you need to like, you know, move out of this niche idea you have and just like, no.
Jeez. I can't, you know, and I know you're ambitious. I know you want like everyone in the world to hear the Far East. So saying those things, it's got to be a little bit hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you begin to doubt yourself if the circumstances are right and maybe, you know, you don't have a lot going on in a couple month period or you're trying to get your mixes back or your recording done and you think maybe we should liven it up, diversify our tempos or like branch out.
Yeah, I think there's like a path that people would love for us to walk down that like I'll kill myself before we walk down it. Just like that silly shit. Like silly Scott, like sorry, silly shit.
Yeah.
Like
partially the Far East is like when you go and you guys play live, there is this like emotionality that just gets lifted out of everybody. So it's not going to transcribe to that either. Like that.
Not everything is about a good time. Yeah. Yo, we're not for you to have a good time. I'm sorry. That's not
You'll have a good time at a Far East show, though.
Yo, and you might go to the dance hall and you might have a good time in the dance. And you might go see, like, there's some reggae shit that is, like, about having a good time. And you might go to a ska show and you might skank it up. Like, you know, you have fun doing that. You enjoy yourself. But like you, when you're going to go to a far, like that's not what we're not here for. That like that's not what we're about or what our purpose is.
What do you think that you're there for?
We're like, I mean, I just feel like we're setting a vibe. We're like, you know, being raw with our emotion. We're trying to be real in a world that's like very fake. Yeah, right. We're trying to talk about real music and try to make like a real feeling and like let people feel some real things.
I mean, all this music out there, there's so much music out there that's just made for whatever bullshit reason they just felt like they needed to make it monetarily or whatever.
To meet certain expectations.
Totally. To meet expectations. Mm-hmm. And there's no heart in it. And when you go and you're at a Far East show, and I've said it to you multiple times, and I still really believe it, and I think there's a few musicians in New York and around the country, but you know, mostly New York, that really bring that heart to it and that emotionality. And that is so hard to hold on to. I think also, especially in New York, it is so hard to fucking hold on. It's like the worst and best of all things in New York City. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to fucking hold on to that heart. And the fact that you guys continually bring that so heavily and the fact that there's people out there trying to get you to like drop that and just make some like fun tune that'll like get everyone going. Yeah, because that would just like liven it up a little bit. Like, let's just let's throw some salsa in there or something. That wouldn't that be fun?
Or like, or just one thing, just like an example, like how about Maddie like just dances a little more and like just like has a little bit more fun up there? I just feel like that's the equivalent of like, why don't you wear something more fun to the office?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that the same thing?
Why can't you smile,
can't
a, little
you smile
more?
A little bit more? Yeah.
You look pretty when you smile.
Oh yeah, you know.
Yeah, it sounds like that to me, and
that's like
and,
a thing.
Yo, and we've spent a lot of years, you know, with Dan, and I thought about Dan a lot on tour, Dan Klein, and like, yo, we can't. The best way to like celebrate his legacy is to make the kind of music he would like, and he was never fake on stage, and that was what I admired the most about him was, you know, his raw emotion on the mic, but also the things he said between songs.
Dude, it was like, crazy.
Yeah, that just was nuts. Reality.
Yeah,
he was real. Living like in the moment. He was being very honest.
Yep, never fake.
Yeah, never fake. And
sometimes too honest on the microphone, Dan. To be totally fair.
Yeah.
Dan,
yeah.
The microphone.
Yeah.
You know, so many of us in New York are still in shock and reeling from Dan, and I think that that's heavy too. I mean, I think that that's what the Far East is doing, is like bringing that heaviness and that consciousness and that heartfelt music and putting it on stage. There's like the happiness, you know, everybody's happy. Yeah, be happy.
It's
and
boring.
So many bands are just like the good time band, and everybody's out there trying to be the good time band. I don't fucking get it. My life is miserable. I don't want to see a good time band. I don't need to fucking smile and jump
Yo,
around.
And in this the climate of where we're at right yeah. now and the world, like, you're still trying to have a good time, bro?
And I think especially in New York and Brooklyn, like, you know, hipster central, like cynical, jaded bullshit central that's like supposed to have no feelings. The fact that the Far East cuts through all that shit, I think is even more impressive. And
we catch
more
feelings. Some people don't catch feelings. We catch them. We catch them all. They're like Pokemon for us. Joey left.
We're not going to talk about Pokemon on this. It was just like so heartfelt. So sincere. And Maddie just pulled out a giant Pokemon with a heart on it. And she showed me that she has little hearts cut inside of it. And that is really weird that you had that in your pocket. I don't even know how you fit that in there, but that's really weird. So we can expect a Far East album in the next seven or eight years.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If it's this trajectory.
No, if we go in this weekend, we'll have something by the following weekend.
You think so?
Press, distributed.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I will say, just like on the real talk, like as far as bands today, to make real music onto tape with like all the proper equipment we need for reggae, like... it takes funds and it takes like some support and yo, you know, holla if you want us to make an album, we come talk to us.
Well, what about merch? Could people get the merch you guys yeah. have from tour and some of the you still have pressed records left?
Yeah, we have tons. It's thefareastnyc.com. We have a store up. Yeah, you can buy our record, you can buy t-shirts, you can
I don't think we pressed tons.
Well, yeah.
There's some.
There's t-shirts. There's patches. There's cool yeah. things.
Can you mark it up like a little bit? Can you mark it up just as a notch more to make a little bit more money so we can get you guys into the studio more? Like, I feel like bands should have two levels of merch. They should have like people can't afford it and just really want to rep the shit. And mm-hmm. then like you really want us to get back into the studio. Here's what you should
be
paying.
Here's a $30 patch.
Yeah, here's a $30 patch. Like, I feel like that's what you should do. Think about
yeah.
it.
Here's an, yeah.
Think about two classes of merch.
Maybe we'll be like Chance the Rapper
so
and we'll never.
You could buy the one where you just.
We'll never have a label.
Need it.
Yeah.
And then, or you could kind of half donate, half
yeah.
buy it.
I know what we'll never do, and we'll never do a fundraiser.
You know, I'm not against it. I've done them.
Yeah. No, I've done them too, but I just don't think I'll ever do that again.
It's not fun either. I mean, I also think you job at McDonald's and make more money quicker. Honestly.
You peak your reach before you even went in the studio.
What do you
mean?
It's
like everybody saw it and donated, yeah. and then you actually released the record. Like, I've never actually
it's climaxed
seen
already.
A record after the fundraiser. Like, I saw the fundraiser, but then... record ever drop? I don't know.
But it's good publicity too because you're like pushing it out there and people yeah. are seeing it. And
it might be
it
too
on.
Long.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I've seen bands that like achieve ridiculous funding where you're like, damn, I only needed like a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I didn't need it. Like, you know, bands getting like $30,000 for their studio record.
Oh, that's what I need. That's fucking, that's day one.
You want me to do 2 days? Studio apartment and... yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we can joke about these people having too much money, but the Far East needs more to get more time in the studio, and so you fuckers can quit your jobs and do this shit full time.
Thank you.
That's got to be happening soon.
Yeah, I feel like the worst. I mean, tour is a roller coaster. Like, we definitely had like some highs on tour, but like coming back to go to our jobs is like the worst. So help us not work at our jobs anymore.
Some highs and some juggalos and then but back home.
That's but that's what life is about. It's about balance. So yeah, we're still New Yorkers trying to pay rent.
Let's fucking make this happen, people. Go listen to the Far East, fareastnyc.com.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
The Far East or just Far East?
The Far East.
The Far East.
The Far East NYC.com.
Okay, fucking do it. Thank you guys for fucking coming over and making this show with me. Appreciate it. Much love.
See ya.
Hatchets up.
Hatchets up and get down. So right now, here's a band called The Cash Registers from right around here in New York. Let's listen to them and check it out. Here it is, Cash Registers. Get down. All right, that's the end of the episode. Thank you all for getting down with us. Huge thank you to Matt and Maddie from the Far East for their incredible stories and sharing their beautiful ideas and their incredible perspective. They are doing an amazing job in their band, and their music is just top of the line. I just can't get any better. It just can't get any better than that. So they're an inspiration to me. I hope they inspired you, and I hope you had a few laughs in between all the pain and suffering that we see in this election and its fallout. So... thank you, Maddie and Matt, for being there for us. Make sure you go to thefareastnyc.com and you find out more information about them. You listen to their tunes and you keep track of where they're headed. Huge props to those guys for getting down with us. I want to send a thank you out to everybody who's been going to our dispatchfromtheunderground.com website and ordering merch. We have a bunch of merch up there. There's a donate section. The show is free, but if there's a donate section for people who are in a position that they can get a hold of their parents' credit cards and donate to us. But if you're not in that position, hopefully you can order some merch from us. We have a bunch of bands on there, All Torn Up, Sedema, Attitude Adjusters, and some others. Go to our website, follow the merch link, and you'll get to our store, our brand new store, and order some merch from us. It helps us out at Dispatches. It helps the bands out that are trying to make a living so they can do more music and less work for the man, and we appreciate the hell out of it, and hopefully you appreciate the merch. So thank you for everyone who's been doing that, and hopefully there's more of you to thank next week. Again, please go to iTunes, subscribe to us. We have a show every single week, and leave a comment, leave some ratings. Obviously, the more stars, the better or whatnot, but you know, no pressure or whatever. And yeah, that's the end of the episode. So thank you all for getting down. Thank you all for fucking hollering out. And we'll see you all next week, next Wednesday. Hope you all keep digging what we do. Till then, get down.